Do you want to be the marker who's stuck in headlights and can't move? Or do you want to prepare for recovery? You know, which one? Do you want to be kind of crippled by fear or stuck by fear? Or do you want to actually start to grow when growth returns?
Welcome to Tech Talks, the podcast brought to you by Nash Squared and hosted by myself, David Savage, that's been bringing you the latest thinking from technology leaders for over 8 years. Joining me this morning, we've got Hannah, who hasn't been on the podcast for a little while, but thank you for spending a few minutes on this intro. How are you?
I'm very well, David. How are you?
Yeah, good. I've sprung this on you and you don't know why, but you are actually ideal for us to speak to before playing the two interviews today because they're all about marketing.
Hey, amazing.
Yeah. We've got the Chief Marketing Officer of Semrush, Andrew Warden, and we've got the Chief Product Officer and Founder of PixArt, Mikhail. Hannah, ChatGPT.
Yes.
Marketer's friend or foe?
Well, it's actually really interesting because we spoke about this on one of our international marketing meetings, and it's amazing as a starting point. I think that's the key part, and maybe some aspects that you haven't thought of before, but SEO-wise, you've got to be so careful because it can actually do a lot of damage to your digital platforms with it. I don't know. I don't think I've utilized it as much as I probably could have done. But as on a more personal level, I've seen that you can use it to plan like holidays and stuff. So you can just write in like a bit of a blurb to go, I'm going here for this many days. Tell me cultural things. And apparently it's so good. So definitely going to be using that for the holiday season. But yeah, marketing wise, we haven't really explored it as much as we probably should, or I haven't.
The impression I get, and we will play these two interviews back to back for people to listen to, but the impression I get from the, from these two talks, both of which were recorded at Web Summit in Rio last week, is that they are pushing at the boundaries of who is a marketeer and changing the role of marketing so that marketing will become less the owner of marketing, so to speak, and more an advisor to the business. So anyone effectively can market themselves. And we've known that's coming for a little while with kind of tools like Canva and so on, making it easier and easier and kind of that ever-expanding pool of creativity that you find within an organization, meaning that marketeers have to transform to that slightly new reality. But there's a line in the interview with Andrew from Semrush where he talks about dealing with a sales team who have used ChatGPT to write a job spec. And his reply to them is ChatGPT ? Sad face. Because his question is, did you review it? And he thinks that people across the organization are beginning to use these tools and then just use whatever it spits out without actually thinking to edit, to analyze, to think about whether or not it's the right thing to post.
Totally agree. I think we've already seen that in some instances. I think with any new tool or system that's going to be introduced, you have to have either a contingency or a process and or a process that's in place to make sure that that level of checking doesn't go unnoticed and it's integrated. It's like another step. I think with these systems, it's, you know, to help with efficiency, but can it be mixed at efficiency and laziness in some ways? Can that just be, oh yeah, that's the job done. I don't need to input anything from that. Which is maybe a sweeping statement because there'll be lots of other reasons for it. Like there may be confidence or training or understanding of the topic, but I think, yeah, unless you've got a process that's in place that can make sure that that's challenged when we're using the systems, I think it's, yeah, it has to be checked on every single basis for that.
Well, look, enough from us. As I said, two interviews, Andrew first from Semrush, then Mikhail from PixArt, both recorded last week in warm, sunny Rio. I'm looking out my window thinking, that feels like a very long way away. But hopefully two conversations that apply obviously to marketing, but to everyone who's beginning to use these tools as they become increasingly widely used and available. So I'm sat down with Andrew, Chief Marketing Officer of Semrush. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, David. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you for taking the time out. You arrived yesterday?
You know, it's a funny story. I landed yesterday at 8 a.m. and somehow, in my utter brilliance, I accepted the invitation to jump on stage at exactly 11:15. And I don't know if people remember just how it works when you land in any country internationally. Of course, it always takes a couple hours to get through immigration, customs. And I found myself making it just with 10 tight minutes. The conference organizers were got a panic and saying, "Are you here yet?" But I made it just in the nick of time. So yes, I'm
probably
here.
Slightly. I don't know, that fraught energy might have brought something to stage.
I honestly, this is kind of, you know, this kind of energy transcends my whole life. I am the person you hate who's the last person who gets on the plane before the door closes. I never want anyone to wait, but I am the just-in-time person, the just-in-time marketer, I would say, which sounds like it's everything is last minute, but it's actually quite the opposite. Everything is planned so well that you arrive just in time. So anyway.
Chief Marketing Officer. I think most people will be familiar with what that is. Semrush, huge organization, but we may well have people listening who aren't familiar with Semrush.
Sure.
Who are you as a business?
So Semrush, you know, and I think, you know, huge organization is relative. So just to make sure people get it, I think that, you know, Semrush is a business. So we are in the business of digital marketing, full stop. Our main value prop and what we do for customers of any size is we help people with their online visibility. And for a long time, that used to mean kind of pure search, you know, being top of the search rankings from a pick your favorite engine. But it's spanned over 55 tools now to equip today's and tomorrow's marketers. And frankly, marketers who don't even know that they're marketers yet, or small business owners that have to do their own marketing, which is one of a soft spot for me. Semrush is, I don't know if it's a huge organization. It's 1,400 people. We're relatively small for the size of the company, but we're global, listed on the New York Stock Exchange. So we went public a couple of years ago. And yeah, we're building the rocket ship.
So here's a question. Are you bored to the back teeth of talking about generative AI, or are you excited by its possibilities?
I'm not bored. My teeth hurt a little. No, I'm kidding. I think it's, but that's just my nervous energy.
You wouldn't be alone in saying that.
No, it's the reason why my teeth hurt is that it's nothing new. You know, it's just that unfortunately or fortunately, it takes one gigantic flash in a pan, which will stay. It'll have lasting power, so it's not technically a flash, but a flash, I would say, with ChatGPT for people to wake up and say, "Oh man, oh goodness, this might have a change for me." I think when you really get to brass tacks, generative AI is absolutely helping. It's absolutely here to stay. It is not something to be scared of. I get this question every day from marketers. Like, is this coming for me? What am I doing? And my first reply is, look, first of all, the more afraid you are, the more in trouble you are. It's kind of like right now, even with our very volatile macro environment. You know, do you want to be the marketer who's stuck in headlights and can't move? Or do you want to prepare for recovery? You know, which one? Do you want to be kind of crippled by fear or stuck by fear? Or do you want to actually start to grow when growth returns? You have to make this decision. The same with generative AI. Generative AI, once you get over the very human emotion of fear, you realize that actually this will help accelerate your own productivity. There is no universe. I actually caught someone last week. It was a brilliant moment where someone asked me to review a job spec for a very unique position actually at our company at Semrush. They said, look, you're the marketing expert here. This is someone more junior in the organization, and said, could you help me? I said, sure. I looked at it. I knew instantly that it was written by ChatGPT. And I called the person out on it. It's a Google Doc, right? So I just put a comment, ChatGPT, sad face, you know? Because it's like, what, you literally asking me to review a ChatGPT job spec? So that means one of two things. You think this is an incredibly useful tool. You can trust everything that comes out of it. But did you review it yourself? And the answer was no. And this is the mistake that people are making, especially with generative AI. But you can't trust new technology to that such an extent. Now, are we at a point where no human intervention is required? No. Are we close to it? Still not. I think if you're looking to fill the blank page, fill the empty page, I think writers call it, ChatGPT or similar tools can be incredibly helpful to save you time. But the idea that you can just give it a prompt, give me 5,000 words about this, and you can just like upload that to your blog is complete nonsense.
So the problem would appear to be,
where you had a search result and you had a list that came through from your search results, mm-hmm. you then, as an individual, had a look through those links and decided which was relevant and which was most pertinent to you, whereas this just spits out one thing and people are almost accepting it on face value.
Yeah, I mean, it's search is different. I think it's just like, if we're generating, you know, content that is supposed to be relevant for people, you still need people for that. Yeah. And you can certainly get a draft going, but until such point when we know exactly which audience on what channel is looking for what type of content and what type of day at what, there's the parameters, the variables are so, they're virtually limitless. Human intervention is needed. So I'm not, again, going back to your original question, my teeth don't really hurt. I just don't, for me, I get the buzz, I get the excitement, but I also hear so much fear from people.
Yeah.
And it really bugs me because, you know what? Like, things change every day. You should look at this as an opportunity. You should look at this and say, "Oh, wait a minute. So, how am I doing on my skill set? How are my editorial skills?" You should brush up on them.
So there's an interesting point, because whilst this is dominating conversation at the minute, what are we not talking about, or what should we be talking about that we're maybe not talking about as much as a consequence? What are the other big trends that you think marketers should be paying attention to?
I think, well, off the top of my head, and it really depends on kind of the situational context, I think it's really important to talk about even like the macro environment that we're in now. You know, a lot of marketers out there, a lot of business people out there continue to be nervous. I get it. I understand. Demand is like really inconsistent for a lot of verticals, a lot of different types of businesses. And I think that one thing I always remind people is to position yourself for economic recovery. And that's something that no one is talking about. And I don't know why. It was about, let's see, it was in the financial crisis, 2008, when I was working at Cisco in London, lived there for many years, and I'll never forget, someone pulled me aside and said, "Hey, you have a choice, like as a leader, as a marketer," and I was younger then, said, "Do you want to be stuck or trapped by this kind of fear of the gates are closing, everything's liquidity events, or it's not liquidity events, liquidity is being tightened, you should really focus on what to do when things turn around." And I thought, wow, what a contrarian view, because literally people were running around, kind of losing their minds about job cuts, budget cuts, all of this. So I think that, you know, that number one, you know, this isn't something that we've published or I published like formally, but I do get this question often, like, what should I be focused on right now? And I think in terms of what's trending, especially as a marketer, you know, we talk about bringing more of a balance between organic and paid channels. And organic often takes a couple of quarters anyway to start lighting up. And so my very strong advice, especially for SMBs or folks who don't have, not even generous, any kind of paid budgets, is to invest the time now. And then I think the other, invest the time now, excuse me, in these organic motions, which take longer anyway, so that by the time recovery comes about, which could be in 6 months, could be in 9 months. Do you know what the average duration of recessionary periods between 1924 until now is?
I do not.
Take a guess.
Year and a half, 2 years?
Year and a half. See, this is great. 10.24 months.
Right.
So, but you see, it's like this human condition that we kind of look at this, we become incredibly stunted in our view, and we think it's going to take a couple of years or a year and a half. It's true that actually in 2008, that took about 18 to 19 months, but before then, it's been even less than 10 months. So it's really, when all said and done, it's not really that long of a period. So you've got to make it through the next week or the next month, but you've also got to kind of, we've been in this kind of unknown zone for a little while now, and my point of view is it's time to focus on recovery. It's time to start moving on. But I want to go back to your question about trends. So a couple of trends that we see. Number one, and these are completely off the top of my head. So number one, brands that have social purpose. We see this as a significant driver of business, and not only for brand equity, but for revenue. Even at Semrush, we started trialing this early in January of this year. Having customers be the heroes of your story, it sounds a little bit bizarre, especially for larger companies, because, you know, we have our messaging handbook, we know what we want to say, we have our ad campaigns. But the other day, I was actually in London and I stumbled across, you know, I never talk to people when I travel. I'm so focused, not because I don't want to, it's just I'm attached to my phone.
And also, you stumbled onto the plane last, so they probably don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, they're exactly. I mean, I wouldn't want to talk to me either, and that's okay. I'm actually okay with that. It doesn't bother me. But in all seriousness, you know, I came into contact with someone just because it's like the first time that I said, yeah, you know what, I'll engage. And it was this young lady who was in London with her mom traveling, but she's based in New York, and she's just happens to be an SEO, and she works at Peacock. And I thought, who is this person? So I got to know her a little bit over breakfast, and she's a DJ on the weekends. She lives like all of these values that really align with SEMrush, actually, right? Yeah. Like a marketer by day, play very hard, you know. And we actually ran a campaign with her in January of this year. It's still running now. And this is one of the best examples because we did it ourselves, but I don't think brands take enough what they see as risk of putting their own customers, and it doesn't have to be a B2C, it can be B2B, we're a B2B company, but we put literally her story out there, how SEMrush lets her live her life on whatever terms she wants, right? Write your own terms and conditions. It's a very empowering message.
Yep.
And it's a growing trend, I think. I just don't think it's fast enough. So I think if people are listening and they're interested, like, this is something that I would encourage people to look into. Brand purpose, if I could really get out my list, but I don't want to. You told me to be natural, which I think I am.
Well, look, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about big picture brands there,
mm-hmm.
which are very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your first website?
Is what my first
this website. This particular conference, is this the first time you've been
Web Summit. Sorry, I thought you said website. This is my first Web Summit, yes. I know. Okay. They're typically had sorry, I've attended in Lisbon once. This is my first time speaking.
So I was talking to the organizers this morning, and they said one of the really interesting things about this is that it's a different crowd, because if you go to Lisbon or you go to Collision, it's typically kind of the same people. Mm-hmm. But here we are in Brazil, it's a very different audience.
I would agree with that.
What's the message to this audience that you're interested to relay?
So I think that the message here, particularly in Brazil, and actually with this, we did do a study, which I am going to look at my notes. It's a marketing skills study.
There's nothing wrong with those.
I know, but I like notes, and I'm obsessed with data, so I want to get the right data points. I have very specific trends that are local to Brazil, so I will let you know about them. In terms of, so the study is about marketing skills, because right now, especially it's volatile out there. Sometimes people find themselves laid off, or they have more time on their hands. For whatever reason, it's a great time to upskill. Mm-hmm. And so my message, I think, for anyone in the world, but especially in Brazil, because that's where we are sat, you know, the digital landscape is a buzz. Digital marketing courses are topping the list for average searches monthly. So more and more people in Brazil are seeking out expertise for digital marketing, communication courses, even customer service courses are later down the list. But there's also an interest, which this one surprised me a bit, in CRM. It's 200% increase year over year in searches for, and I think that speaks to how the markets are moving here. But I think even in the face of generative AI, writing jobs or digital marketing and copywriting jobs are also up in terms of search and trends, right, which is very interesting in the context of ChatGPT. So it's like, maybe it's, you know, how do I upskill my own writing so that I can edit? I think it's more for editorial. So these are some of the data points. I think that what's interesting, bringing it back to your question about crowd, there's a kind of new energy here when it comes to Web Summit, when it comes to tech. And I don't mean new, because that sounds very ignorant on my part. I think it's an energy that I haven't discovered yet here. I've been to Brazil. I've been here many times. First time in Rio, though. And what I see and I feel and I hear when walking in these halls and being on stage and talking with people, even in the face of all of this uncertainty that we have, there's a lot of life. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of passion. And it's so nice to see even so many startups pitching on stage and really just going for it. And I just love that.
So let me ask you one last question. You are a leader. You are here to help kind of share some insights, but you're also an individual with your own career.
Sure.
What are you here to learn? What are your eyes open to?
Great question. I haven't asked myself that question for being here. That's good. I came primarily because I was asked to speak about how others can grow their own SaaS brands. From my side, I'm learning every day. If I'm not, I'm bored, and I hate waking up if I'm not learning, to be honest. So I think that the idea that you stop learning at some point is a total myth, or you know everything because you're a leader or you're some executive, or it's complete nonsense. One of the things I look forward to the most, not only listening to discourse and engaging, but I've also been, you know, we have a customer event tonight. I think that's really important to hear how people are going, how their businesses are tracking. But for my own development, I think it's a nice reminder of what it feels like to be back on a stage with 700 people. Thank you very much. It's been a while since COVID. I don't know. I'm gonna have to think about it. It's a good question. I should be thinking more about myself, but I honestly, as a leader, I don't.
When we post this, I'm sure we'll tag you on LinkedIn or something
sure,
like that.
Sure.
We'll get you to post in the comments.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good one. I'll think about it. Anyway.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good rest of summer.
So I'm talking to Mikhail from Pixart. Thank you for taking the time to sit down with me in amongst your busy schedule here in Brazil.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to meet you, David.
And
thanks for hosting.
No, thank you for your time. Look, you're speaking tomorrow.
Yes.
Prepared?
Yes.
Yeah?
As always.
Good. Look, before we get onto what you're going to be talking about, why don't you give us a quick introduction to who you are and Pixart, and then we'll pick up what you're going to be talking about as a secondary thread.
Yeah, I'm currently leading the product, which includes product development, product monetization of the product, as well as how we market the product to our users, different segments and to the different use cases. So I'm one of the founding partners of the Pixart and have been with the company since first days.
Yeah.
And we're doing a lot of different things, and right now for me is the next thing, how to scale the company further, how to innovate faster and better, considering the change in the market, the change in the behavior of the users over the years, and how to keep us competitive, as we have been always at the forefront of this creative revolution throughout these 12 years.
And you say that, like, 12 years, forefront of the creative revolution. Specifically, what are we talking about? What's the product do for users?
Oh, when we were starting back in 2011 with our first launch on Android, actually, that's also interesting. We were like Android first, mobile first, and Android first product. Literally at that time when there were like very few products like that, and especially the very few products starting from Android at the first place. So we started it keeping in mind that there is no accessible creative tools available in the market, and all the tools were mainly targeted towards professional creators. And we have seen the gap that with the introduction of smartphones, with the development of all these new technologies, there will be more need for more accessible tools to everyone, and we need to help our users, and we need to have the world to make creativity more accessible, even if we are not professional designer or professional photographer, etc. So that's how we started.
Yep.
And then it developed throughout the years with our introduction of community and us moving forward into the up market as we are currently focused on.
And when we talk about creatives. Creatives is this huge term now that can encompass so many people on so many different platforms, so many different channels. What are your audience looking for from your products? What is it that they're looking to unlock through using Pixart?
Yes, for us, I want to mention that we look at the creators right now as a marketer. For us, the main persona is a marketer. And why I say marketer? Because marketer is not this traditional company by people who are just doing traditional marketing. For us, everyone nowadays is a marketer, because you are on social media and you're either marketing your own personality as a brand, or you are doing some business and selling something or marketing something on social media, or combining both. Yeah. So that's why our goal is to help you be more creative and stand out within these all social media networks and within all the products which are currently being promoted and marketed within the social media.
As of interest, marketers, traditional marketers, must talk to you. Like, if I think kind of 20 years ago, marketing professionals use MacBooks, and it was felt that it was expensive, it was quite difficult, as you said, you know, accessibility wasn't really there, it was quite a challenging discipline. Now that's definitely less so, and with generative AI and the tools that are now readily available to people, creativity feels like this toolkit that people, or a sandbox that people can really dive into and play with. What challenges does that pose for traditional marketers, I suppose, because all of a sudden anyone can market themselves, and that might cause a headache for some organizations.
Yes, of course. With everything new, with every new technology, with every like evolution and revolution, there is always some drawbacks for the people who got used to use or utilize something always in the same way. And marketers and marketing is no exception for me. So how I look at it, some of the marketers will transition themselves and transform to new realities and will leverage and use it as an opportunity to utilize those new technologies, especially the Gen AI, to be more advanced, to be more productive, to be more efficient and unique. So those marketers, I believe, will still be in the market and they'll still will do their job really good by just amplifying all these new tools and technologies. But of course, as with everything new, some things will be kind of outdated, and some things which have been done differently before will be replaced by Gen AI and AI in general. So, and it's how it works in general with every new technology. If you look back this last 20 years, there were many developments, and each of those developments provided new opportunities for people who can adapt to these new realities. And for some people, it wasn't so good if they are not adaptable, or they are not willing to adapt.
Of course. Now look, we mentioned at the top that you're here, you're speaking, you are both on the center stage and you're on a panel on one of the secondary stages. What message are you trying to convey to this audience here in Rio this week?
The main message is that you shouldn't be afraid of new technologies and everything that is new, especially when it's related to Gen AI, because it's the main topic and main hype right now, right? For everyone, you just need to look at it from more opportunistic perspective and leverage it for your needs and look at it as your assistant. Basically, if you have been doing something before in some other way and it took you more time to accomplish your goals, by leveraging these new technologies, leveraging Gen AI and using it as your co-pilot, it will help you to be much more efficient and much more productive. So that's the message. Just don't be afraid. Use it as your co-pilot and assistant and be more creative and be more productive.
And look, to finish on, one last question. Yes, you're here to speak, and you're someone that people are looking to gain insight from. But you yourself, you're a professional in the industry. We're always learning. What are you coming here with? With your eyes open to? What questions have you got that you kind of are looking for answers for when you're walking around the floor?
Yes, it's a good question. Actually, as always, you need constantly learn, and you need to learn from your peers, you need to learn from your colleagues, you need to learn from other companies' experience. So that's why this kind of event for me is more opportunity to do networking and learn from peers from other companies, how they leverage these new technologies, what risks or what threats they see in their businesses, or like learn, because we have a lot of users in Brazil are utilizing our platform and are like really active and super users of our platform learn how these users are using our platform, what they will need in future, and how we can help them more to be, again, even more creative than before. So it's different perspective and different learnings usually come out from this type of events. And then it's also good that you meet really great people, you then stay in touch and you keep learning more from them, even outside of the conference and later on throughout your journey.
Absolutely. Well, look, good luck tomorrow.
Thanks a lot.
I'm sure it'll go well. And enjoy the rest of the time in Brazil.
Thanks. And thanks for a great discussion.